The time is 3:30. It's time for Rude Awakening. Stay tuned.
This is a Rude Awakening. I'm Sabrina Jacobs. On today's show, I'll speak to Food Not Bombs founder Keith McHenry and again to founder of Consider the Homeless Barbara Brust on Assembly Bill 2178 that will stymie their efforts to keep the hungry in our communities fed. Stay tuned. Assembly Bill 2178 has passed the Assembly, the Senate, and is now sitting on Governor Brown's desk. He has until September 30th to sign the bill into law. What is AB 2178? It's a law that will, simply put, limit for most organizations or completely eliminate, for the most part, the ability to legally provide meals for the disenfranchised people in our communities throughout the state of California. How did this bill sneak its way onto Governor Brown's desk? With less than 30 days until it will ultimately become law, with or without his signature, I have on the line with me right now the founder of Food Not Bombs, Keith McHenry, and the founder of Consider the Homeless, Barbara Brust, to discuss how this bill could potentially sink their efforts to keep the hungry fed and how this fight could potentially unfold. Barbara Brust, welcome back to A Rude Awakening.
Oh, what a rude awakening this is, too.
I hear you. I totally hear you. And welcome, Mr. Keith McHenry. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Barbara stole my line. This is a rude awakening.
So let's start with exactly what this bill does. Keith, go ahead and give us the background on how this bill came to fruition. When we were speaking off mic, you said that around 2013 is when they started to write this legislation. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, apparently the organization called the California Conference of Directors of Environmental Health Food Safety Policy Committee had a convention or conference in California. And in October of 2013, they emailed me saying they were trying to make a type of health permit more easily obtainable by groups like Food Not Bombs. And what it turned out is that these the health departments have been getting all these complaints about people sharing food out in the streets with the homeless. Mm-hmm. And when we started talking to Justine Milan, the executive director of this organization, about these complaints and other health officials, including environmental health person that's been meeting with the Hunger LA and Food Not Bombs down in Los Angeles, a man by the name of, Freddie was how he's introduced. They were saying they're getting all these complaints, and it's always by people that just really wish that no one was feeding the homeless, that the homeless would go away, go indoors somewhere, get out of their neighborhood. And when I asked each of these people, and also Monique Lamone's aide, Jimmy, as to whether there was any, like, health complaints where a person got ill eating at a soup kitchen like this, they said, no, they really couldn't trace anything to that. It was just the complaints by citizens wanting to get rid of programs that are feeding the homeless out in public, and that's where this law was generated. Mm-hmm. And the basic thing is that before this new law was proposed, mm-hmm. there had been obviously a health law for food safety, mm-hmm. and it was based on the idea that if a person had economic advantage to selling unsafe food, that they should be regulated.
So that's the
people like ourselves don't have any economic advantage to share unsafe food.
Right, and that's Health and Safety Code. They proposed AB 626 and AB 2524 and put all those bills together mix those two in with AB 2178. Now, you mentioned soup kitchens. Does the EB-2178 that just passed on Friday, sitting on Governor Brown's desk, does that include soup kitchens as well? I thought they were already cleared as far as health and safety are concerned through the state if they're a nonprofit charitable organization. Is that correct? Translate that for us.
Yeah, if you have a commercial kitchen and you're like, say, Salvation Army or St. Anthony's or Martin de Porres or something, then you are already covered by state law. Mm-hmm. And if health inspectors, see that you're safe, you continue to get your certificate and you're not closed down. In our case, we are giving away, and Barbara's group is giving away, like home-cooked meals largely, and sharing them on the streets. And that is what this new law is supposed to be governing. And as it turns out, in talking to all these individuals that are creating this law, you nonetheless still have to get a commercial kitchen to prepare the meals and share them on the streets. And that's where it's that's part of what the problem is. So under this law that supposedly makes it easier for us to get permits, the actually qualifications are essentially the same as they were under the earlier law, and that actually, if they wanted to make it easier, the one thing that they would do is remove the part of the amended law that's been around for a few years where it covers giving away food mm-hmm. as well as selling food. Because really the purpose of the food safety law is around selling food and should never have been around giving away food.
All right, I'm going to bring Barbara Brust, founder of Consider the Homeless, into the conversation. Now, Barbara, you didn't know anything about it until I called you today, correct?
Well, you woke me up with the rude awakening. Yes, I had heard of some of this, yeah. And I just couldn't believe that California was going to pass something like this. I've been so involved in other battles that I didn't concentrate on this. And what I'm hearing now, and thank God we have Keith with us, is some of the background of it. And Consider the Homeless has recently gotten its nonprofit status. And part of the reason that we have a group of 75 volunteers plus working with us is because it is grassroots. And we cook out of our own kitchens. We follow regulations as far as food safety, as far as how hot we keep it, et cetera, et cetera. However, one of the things I've been very heartened with lately is the amount of individuals in Berkeley specifically, that's what I know about, that have been taking it on their own as families to cook meals and bring it outside and serve it to the homeless. We're in a state of emergency. I don't see how we can just eradicate the Good Samaritan laws and make individuals be liable for doing something that is desperately needed, and it's not going to make people go away. It's going to make people get sick from living out of dumpsters.
That's right.
I mean, it's horrific what the potential of this law is. I know that many of the people that work with Consider the Homeless don't want to go to a kitchen that gets health and safety checks every now and again. I mean, we do what we do because we're doing it grassroots. And we serve over 100 people a night twice weekly mm-hmm. that have gotten used to us being out there for almost 4 years now.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. 4 years.
Yeah, we also proposed to these people before the law, particularly to Monique Lamone's office, that they investigate the law in Connecticut, which does not in any way restrict people. It actually encourages people to share food with the hungry without government interference. Mm-hmm. And so they actually knew about that ordinance. They could have. It was a law that grew out of the arrest of Food Not Bombs in Middletown, Connecticut. U.S. Senator Blumenthal was instrumental in getting that law passed. But they seem to just go forward with this. And it's my understanding from these conversations that they, like, for instance, read the Food Not Bombs website. They apparently read my book. They quoted parts out of it or talked about sections in the book. Mm-hmm. In these conversations, and yet they didn't reach out a second time to really get a meeting with us to find out how this would negatively impact the community. And so hot meals, which is really important to give away, and we have 50 groups in California, which probably only 3 or 4 at the most have commercial kitchens that they work out of. It is essential to hundreds and hundreds of people that are, we get, like, for example, about 200 people every Saturday and Sunday here in Santa Cruz, depending on our meals. And we are facing the loss of our commercial kitchen because of downtown developers bulldozing the entire block where our kitchen is. And we may be back out, you know, in people's houses again. And if we complied, if we went and we applied for this permit and we raised the money necessary to get the permit, we would be then limited to handing out packages of food that are, you know, that we buy at Costco or something like that, and produce, and then the hot meals would end. And that's really what would be happening, is all these organizations would have to raise money for a permit fee, mm-hmm. and then they wouldn't be, unless they could gain access to a commercial kitchen, be able to share the food outside.
All right,
just had a tragic case.
Hold on one second, Keith. I got to put hold the line, please. I want to hear about the tragic case, and we got to figure out how to mobilize. I think we need to. The folks need to hear that. We're going to take a quick musical break. Stay on the line. We got Keith McHenry, Food Not Bombs, and Barbara Bruss from Consider the Homeless. Stay tuned. Enough of this album. It's the internet. Come together right here on Pacific Radio KPFA 94.1 FM. I'm Sabrina Jacobs. This is A Rude Awakening. And we have Barbara Bruss from Consider the Homeless, founder of Consider the Homeless. And we also have Mr. Keith McHenry. And he is the founder of Food Not Bombs. And when we left off on the other side of that break, Keith, you were telling us about what's going on there in Santa Cruz. And the tragedies go ahead.
Yeah, this is in Santa Monica. I received a phone call from one of our volunteers, and we've been sharing food for years at the 3rd Street Promenade and Wilshire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out an organization called Resdocracy Santa Monica photographed our group sharing food and then did a huge campaign against our kitchen, which was the Presbyterian Church of Santa Monica.
Against your kitchen.
Until the church was harassed into forcing us to leave their commercial kitchen. And that's what I think will happen, sadly, with this law, is it will open the door to groups like here in Santa Cruz. We have Take Back Santa Cruz, the far right wing group that harasses us and harasses homeless people, and who has for years been trying to shut us down. And this will just provide basically a propaganda victory for these anti-homeless groups to shut down soup kitchens all throughout the state.
Okay, so this assembly person, Monique Lamont, do you know what part of California she's from?
Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And according to Justin from the executive director of the California Association of Environmental Health Administrators, she was chosen to sponsor the bill because she was particularly progressive. And she's a new and young state assembly person, and she has a quite a progressive record. And I think that basically she and others didn't know really why this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially go, oh, it's we don't want homeless people to get sick. This must be a good idea. And did not realize that what it would do is force people to eat out of dumpsters instead of have access to good, healthy food.
Well, she obviously didn't do her homework either. She didn't do her due diligence as far as researching and talking to people like you, reading your book, and taking it to the next level of investigating the situation and the possible ramifications of her actions. Barbara, are you going to be able to pay these fines that they're, or the, not the fines, but the registration costs, the registration fees? Are you going to be able to do that?
We are on a shoestring budget right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have our volunteers that donate. Thank God, they're incredible. They donate all the ingredients to make this food once or twice a week for feeding 100, which comes to about $100 of donation out of their own pockets.
Right.
Now that we have the nonprofit status, people are able to deduct that. However, I mean, what about the people who's, I run into people all the time who do it out of their own kitchens, who can't afford fines. I know for considered a homeless, we do not have people that want to go to some industrial kitchen and cook there in order to be within the law. What about the Good Samaritan Act? What about, you know, cottage industries can sell food. We're not trying to sell food. We're trying to give away hearty, hot, healthy, homemade food. And I can't believe what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, of course. You always do.
Yeah, I think that beyond the problem of the fees
mm-hmm.
is the problem of access to the kitchens to be in compliance.
Right.
And I know Food Not Bombs is actually meeting. We're having a California gathering on Veterans Day weekend, the 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Omni on Shattuck, where we're going to discuss our plans for opposition to this. So we have a worldwide policy that we adopted in 1992 after a brutal battle with the city of San Francisco over the issue of environmental health permits, where we decided that we would never accept or apply for a permit from any government because of just the underhanded way mm-hmm. that it happened in San Francisco. And so we will probably, I'm almost certain of it, maintain that position, and we will continue to do exactly as we have been doing in California since 1988 and nationally since 1980. And we will not fall into that trap again. And we lost our health permit after having sued in federal court to get it when the health department had a person deliver a sheet of cake to us while we were assembling our health inspected tent. And then had a homeless person come and take a slice of that cake and eat it. And therefore, we had shared food without our health permit prominently displayed.
Mm.
And we are certain that this will be the type of law that will be used to attempt to shut down our chapters all across. We're in about 50 cities in California now. And I believe that essentially what will happen is we will refuse. We will resist. We will do as we did in San Francisco, where we divided the food into thirds so the police would arrest some people and take a small amount of food, and then we would return with a little bit more food. Those people would be arrested and that food confiscated. And then when the police finally left, we would feed every single person that arrived. And I believe that'll probably be the statewide strategy that we will adopt to resist this law.
Well, is there any way that Keith and Barbara, if you would like to chime in, please do. Keith, you've got not a lot of experience doing this as far as fighting with the powers that be. This is going to be a state law. But is there anything that the municipalities that Food Not Bombs is located in, is there any way that There can be a conversation had with those like city council members, with those mayors, to try to bend those rules and hopefully look at pushing forward some type of legislation in the future to rescind AB 2178.
I'd like to jump in here if I can.
Go ahead, Brian.
I've done a lot of work with the Berkeley City Council about shelter and such, and I just want to point out that we are federally registered, we are county, and we are state registered.
Mm-hmm.
No one came to talk to us about any of this either. I think that the fact that Berkeley has declared a state of emergency, and I believe California is in the process of declaring a state of emergency around homeless, that any rules have to be bent. We're talking about survival here. We're not talking about, gee, would you like some brownies, you know?
Right.
We're not talking about, here's my leftovers from dinner. We're talking about sustenance that keeps people alive.
Mm-hmm.
And regulating that by the government is not something that's going to work necessarily. First of all, consider the homeless volunteers consist a lot of students, individuals, retired people that have a heart and want to do something and don't know what to do. I admire that Food Not Bombs has plenty of people willing to be arrested. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
We drive around in a van. We have a board of directors that are not in a position to be willing or able to get arrested. Otherwise, our battle ends right there. And I can't have that happen. I won't subject people to that. We've got to stop this before this becomes law by contacting the governor, contacting our representatives, contacting federal and state level and county level and city level people. I mean, I called the governor's office and found out that this bill isn't even on his desk yet.
Hmm.
And that was information I just got. That's how much news this is. And when it gets to his desk, then we're going to have people that are obviously going to try calling, and they're going to be put on the same hold I was, just to give their opinions.
Hmm.
I do have a URL where you can fill out an opinion right now via email or via online, and I think that we need to inundate Nancy Skinner's office. We need to inundate the Alameda County Board of Supervisors and the Berkeley mayor and council members, as well as the rest of the state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And mobilize.
That's where I am right now.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, I think that we have been talking to, and I urge everybody to contact their county health department and ask them to call Brown's office and urge them to veto this law and to reconsider the entire thing. Because I think environmental health directors in each county were to speak to the governor, that would be a big help. And I've talked to Dr. Leff here in Santa Cruz County and asked him and been in dialogue with him actually for several weeks about this law, and encouraged him to contact the governor to have it vetoed, because I think it will ultimately lead to an increase in hunger and a lack of food safety and sanitation, which is the exact opposite of what they are claiming that this law is supposed to enhance. And I think in the climate where there's so much effort to shut down food programs, because there's a belief that if you starve the homeless, they will leave and go to someplace else. You know, this has become like a very urgent situation. And again, I know that after we were arrested 1,000 times in San Francisco, it cost several, some estimates it might have been as much as $2 million that the city spent trying to stop us. We continued anyway, and encouraged the formation of many other Food Not Bombs chapters around the world. And we also had just won a federal case in Atlanta in the 11th Circuit, where the judges ruled that it is our legal right, our First Amendment right, to continue to share food without restriction from the authorities in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And so we are making some headway in that regard.
Hmm.
And I just hope that we reach the governor, he vetoes it, and that some more sensible policy ends up happening.
Absolutely. It's going to take a lot of mobilization. I just want to read this this quote from HALA, or Hunger Action Los Angeles, and they wrote against the bill. HALA states that several of the groups in its network are small, completely volunteer-run coalitions of concerned citizens who have taken it upon themselves to provide healthy cooked meals for homeless people and other low-income people they encounter in their neighborhoods. HALA states there are several provisions that are direct operational restrictions on how these groups can operate and would affect food access across their network, end quote. And it's a misdemeanor as far as AB 2178, that is in transition, getting ready to hit Jerry Brown's desk. AB 2178 makes it a misdemeanor for you to give out food to another person in public. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, Barbara, I want to take it back to Barbara Bress, founder of Consider the Homeless. Last week we had a great conversation, and it was very inspiring to sit down with you at the demo encampment at the Old City Hall. I just passed by there yesterday, and it's gone.
Yep.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, well, that was a political action to wake the city up to the fact that they were closing a shelter that had a lot of really vulnerable seniors and people with disabilities. We saved at least one life while we were there, but they chose to, what I call, raid us anyway. And I believe that the city had passed an ordinance stating that it wouldn't be before 8 a.m. in the morning. Well, it was about 6 a.m. in the morning that they came and took us away. And luckily, we saved everything, and all that was left was garbage that was pre-bagged and mosquitoes. There was something in a paper about there was evidence of mosquitoes.
And
it's ridiculous. I think they were trying to come up with a reason to fence the lawn off. Mm-hmm. And so that's become my new war cry, watch out for the mosquitoes. But they're still bouncing people. I mean, at the end of this week, they're going to move people from the North Berkeley Senior Center down to San Pablo Park, and then they're going to move people from there to who knows where. And it's really disheartening what's going on. And there's virtually nothing that we can do about it right now, consider the homeless or Barbara can do about it right now without breaking further laws. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did what I could to try to get the word out there, and thanks to you and Rude Awakening, we got some word out there. Mm-hmm. But still, people are being asked to show up at a shelter at God knows what time and be thrown out at 6 a.m. in the morning, and who knows if they can even get in the next night now is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
When they are compromised with dialysis, with chemotherapy, with other disabilities, and no place to rest. I mean, they're mm-hmm. virtually making it so you're not allowed to sleep in this city anyplace legally. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're especially in need or you're one of the more vulnerable, there are no places. Go out of town. Go away. You know, it's like Keith keeps saying they just want to ship us somewhere else where nobody sees us. And that's abhorrent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are legal and humanitarian rights. We signed the UN human rights that there people have a right to adequate shelter. And apparently that doesn't work in some places like mm-hmm. this country. And it's only getting
well,
worse.
Okay. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco ruled that in support of a case that was brought in Boise, Idaho, which impacts Berkeley and it impacts here in Santa Cruz, where they're actually reducing shelter space as part of the policy of this, mm-hmm. you know, homeless policy in the city. That says they can no longer ticket or arrest people for living outside in public space if they do not provide housing for every single person.
And that's a great legislation. So, I got to cut you off, Keith. I'm so sorry. Barbara Bress, founder of Consider the Homeless, and Mr. Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs. We have got to close it out here. And I want to thank both of you for taking the time and giving me all this knowledge. You can go to considerthehomeless.org, considerthehomeless.org, and find out all the information you need for Berkeley, locally here in the East Bay. And then, of course, you can go to foodnotbombs.net, foodnotbombs.net. And that's nationwide. All right, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, worldwide, really.
Yeah, worldwide. That's what's up.
65 countries.
65 countries. Thank you both. You guys are amazing.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate you both. Love you guys. Thank you. And that does it for another edition of A Rude Awakening. I'm Sabrina Jacobs. A big thank you to my guests, Barbara Bress and Keith McHenry, for indulging me today. Mr. Rhoda Keel is on the controls. Hard Knock Radio's up next. I'll be back next week. Same time, same place.